Chapter 2. Warfighting Functions and Combat Power. This chapter defines the six warfighting functions and discusses how they generate combat power. It concludes with a description of the dynamics of combat power. Warfighting Functions. The purpose of warfighting functions is to provide an intellectual organization for common critical capabilities available to commanders and staffs at all echelons and levels of war. A warfighting function is a group of tasks and systems united by a common purpose that commanders use to accomplish missions and training objectives. Warfighting function capabilities are not confined to any domain, and they typically include capabilities from all domains. Each warfighting function complements and reinforces the other functions. Their integration and synchronization generate the combat power available for commanders to execute operations and accomplish missions assigned by higher echelons. Warfighting functions are not branch-specific. Many capabilities that contribute to one warfighting function also contribute to others, often simultaneously. For example, an aviation unit conducting a reconnaissance mission may simultaneously contribute to the command and control, intelligence, and fire's warfighting functions. To ensure synchronization across warfighting functions, commanders at all echelons focus on the combined arms employment of specific capabilities in terms of task and purpose over time, rather than the warfighting function of the capability. Note: although some branches, functional areas, staff sections, and types of units have a role or purpose that aligns with a specific warfighting function, all formations must account for each warfighting function. The tasks associated with each warfighting function help establish responsibilities for doctrine, capability modernization, and leader development in the institutional force. However, Army forces take a flexible approach during operations and synchronize tasks based on the situation. The purpose for which Army forces use a capability determines its associated warfighting function in an operational context. Command and control. The primary purpose of command and control is to assist commanders in integrating and synchronizing the other warfighting functions effectively at each echelon, applying combat power to achieve objectives, and applying combat power to accomplish missions. The command and control warfighting function is the related tasks and a system that enable commanders to exercise authority and direction to accomplish missions. Command and control synchronize the systems and capabilities that comprise the other warfighting functions. Strategy, operational art, planning, operational approaches, operational frameworks, risk assessment, and decision-making are all part of command and control. Command and control reflect leader action and how Army forces achieve unity of effort and unity of purpose during operations. Commanders, assisted by their staffs, integrate numerous processes and activities within their headquarters and across the force through the command and control warfighting function. These tasks are: command forces, control operations, conduct the operations process, employ the command and control system. The command and control system includes people, processes, networks, and command posts. All components of the system are critical in supporting effective decision-making and the tempo required to defeat enemy forces. The command and control system supports information advantage by developing situational understanding, decision-making, and operating networks. Mission command helps commanders seize operational initiative by creating and exploiting opportunities within the commander's intent. Mission command is the Army's approach to command and control that empowers subordinate decision-making and decentralized execution appropriate to the situation. ADP 6.0. Mission command supports the Army's operational concept of multi-domain operations and its emphasis on seizing, retaining, and exploiting the initiative. Seizing initiative requires subordinates who seek opportunities and commanders who accept risk for subordinates trying to meet their intent. Subordinate decision-making and decentralized execution appropriate to the situation help manage uncertainty and enable necessary tempo at each echelon during operations. Retaining operational initiative requires sustained, relentless pressure on enemy forces. Commanders maintain pressure by integrating and synchronizing the warfighting functions to present enemy commanders with continuously changing combinations of combat power at a tempo they cannot effectively counter. See ADP-6O for more information on the command and control warfighting function. Movement and maneuver. The movement and maneuver warfighting function is the related tasks and systems that move and employ forces to achieve a position of relative advantage with respect to the enemy. Movement is necessary to echelon and position the force as a whole or in part when maneuvering. Maneuver directly gains or exploits positions of relative advantage. Direct fire and close combat are inherent in maneuver. The movement and maneuver warfighting function includes these tasks: move, maneuver, employ direct fires, occupy an area, conduct mobility and countermobility, conduct reconnaissance and surveillance, employ battlefield obscuration. Movement is the positioning of combat power to establish the conditions for maneuver, ADP-3-90. Army forces direct movement using movement techniques, using movement control formations, and conducting battle drills to mitigate the risk of making contact with the enemy before maneuvering. Movement includes force projection of forces into a theater of operations. However, movement does not include administrative movements of personnel and materiel, which fall under the sustainment warfighting function. Maneuver is movement in conjunction with fires, ADP-3-90. Through maneuver, commanders can concentrate forces at decisive points and times to achieve surprise, generate lethal and non-lethal effects, and gain operational initiative over enemy forces while protecting their own forces. Preserving combat power is a significant component of maneuver decisions. Effective maneuver requires close coordination of fires and movement. Both tactical and operational maneuver requires sustainment support. See ADP-3-90 for more information on movement and maneuver. Intelligence. Intelligence drives operations. The intelligence warfighting function is the related tasks and systems that facilitate understanding the enemy, terrain, weather, civil considerations, and other significant aspects of the operational environment. The intelligence warfighting function synchronizes information collection with primary tactical tasks of reconnaissance, surveillance, security, and intelligence operations. Other significant aspects of a given operational environment include threats, adversaries, and operational variables, which vary with the nature of operations. Intelligence is driven by commanders, and it involves conducting operations to develop the situation and analyzing information from all sources. The Army executes intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance through operations and intelligence processes, with emphasis on information collection, analysis, and the production of intelligence products. The intelligence warfighting function provides commanders and staffs with observations about the threat and relevant aspects of an operational environment through collection resulting in data that they process and exploit into usable information for analysis and production. This results in intelligence. The intelligence warfighting function includes these tasks: provide intelligence support to force generation, provide support to situational understanding, conduct information collection, provide intelligence support to targeting. Timely, accurate, relevant, and predictive intelligence enables decision-making, optimal tempo, and agility during operations. Due to the fog and friction of warfare, commanders must fight for intelligence and share it with adjacent units and across all echelons. Intelligence supports information advantage by developing an understanding of enemy forces and various populations in an operational environment to enable decision-making. See ADP-2O for additional information on the intelligence warfighting function. Fires. The fires warfighting function is the related tasks and systems that create and converge effects in all domains against the threat to enable actions across the range of military operations. These tasks and systems create lethal and non-lethal effects delivered from both Army and Joint Forces, as well as from other unified action partners. Ground-based fires complement and reinforce firepower in the other domains and enable the joint force. Commanders must execute and integrate fires with the other warfighting functions to create effects and achieve the desired end state. Commanders and staffs must expect and account for collateral effects of fires within one domain, impacting capabilities in other domains. Commanders and staffs must anticipate planning timelines associated with requesting, shifting, and lifting multi-domain effects, such as space and cyberspace, from higher Army echelons or from joint forces. Fires tasks are those necessary actions that must be conducted to create effects in all domains. The tasks of the fires warfighting function are: execute fires across the five domains, employing surface-to-surface fires, air-to-surface fires, surface-to-air fires, cyberspace operations and electromagnetic warfare, space operations, multinational fires, special operations. Integrate Army, multinational, and joint fires through targeting, operations process, fire support planning, airspace planning and management, electromagnetic spectrum management, multinational integration, rehearsals, air and missile defense planning and integration. See ADP 3-19 for additional information on the fire's warfighting function. Protection. Protection encompasses everything that makes Army forces hard to detect and destroy. The protection warfighting function is the related tasks, systems, and methods that prevent or mitigate detection, threat effects, and hazards to preserve the force, deny the enemy freedom of action, and enable commanders to apply combat power. The protection warfighting function tasks are incorporated into the operations process in a comprehensive, integrated, layered, and redundant approach to minimize the vulnerabilities of the force. Protection activities endure in ways that differentiate them from defensive and specific security operations. While a unit defends for a specific purpose over time, and a formation provides security in a manner that maintains freedom of action, protection is persistent and serves one purpose: the preservation of friendly forces. As they develop their scheme of protection, commanders understand threats and hazards in an operational environment, including threats from space, cyberspace, and outside their assigned area of operations. Prioritizing protection assets is situationally dependent and resource-informed. Protection capabilities integration aims to balance protection with the freedom of action throughout the duration of military operations. Commanders balance their protection efforts with the need for tempo and for resourcing the main effort. They often assume risk in potentially vulnerable operations or areas, but these operations or areas are likely low enemy priorities for targeting or attack. Protection is as much about how units conduct operations as it is the employment of specific capabilities designed to provide protection. It is an outcome that results from a variety of tasks, tactics, techniques, and procedures. Since protection encompasses everything that makes Army forces hard to destroy, it includes many tasks. Protection can be effectively understood as requirements to manage risk and to protect capabilities, areas, and information. The protection warfighting function tasks include: conduct survivability operations, provide force health protection, conduct sea burn operations, provide explosive ordnance disposal support, coordinate air and missile defense support, conduct personnel recovery, conduct detention operations, conduct risk management, implement physical security procedures, apply anti-terrorism measures, conduct police operations, conduct populace and resources control, conduct area security, conduct cybersecurity and defense, conduct electromagnetic protection, implement operations security. See ADP 3-37 for more information on the protection warfighting function. Sustainment. Sustainment enables the depth and duration of Army operations. The sustainment warfighting function is the related tasks and systems that provide support and services to enable freedom of action, extend operational reach, and prolong endurance. Successful sustainment integration and synchronization increases the number of options available to the commander. The sustainment warfighting function consists of four elements: logistics, financial management, personnel services, health service support. The principles of sustainment apply in any context and reflect the fundamental characteristics necessary for victory against a peer threat able to effectively contest the joint force in all domains. The principles of sustainment and the principles of logistics are the same. They are integration, anticipation, responsiveness, simplicity, economy, survivability, continuity, improvisation. See ADP-40 and FM-40 for additional information on the sustainment warfighting function. Combat power. Commanders and their staffs at all echelons employ the art and the science of tactics. The art generally is in the purview of commanders and select staff members, whereas the science is everyone's responsibility. Each branch, functional area, or staff section is the master of specific knowledge and the underlying science based upon its training, experience, and focus. Members of a staff must be ready to provide subject matter expertise on all aspects of their specialties. This specialized knowledge on its own, however, is not enough. Large-scale combat operations demand military professionals be more than just experts in their specialties and branches. It requires grounding in the doctrine about combined arms application of combat power. Leaders must understand their unit's specialty, capability, and limitations, the will of their soldiers, and the best method to employ their specialized knowledge with other units in complementary and reinforcing ways. Military operations executed in the land domain require the continuous generation and application of combat power. Combat power is the total means of destructive and disruptive force that a military unit/formation can apply against an enemy at a given time. JP-30. Army forces generate combat power by integrating the systems and tasks of the warfighting functions, and then they use command and control to synchronize its application against enemy forces at decisive places and times, or against combinations of objectives across multiple domains. Combat power represents the measurable military potential combined with the intangible advantages of an organization. It is viewed in relation to adversary or enemy forces, and it is variable in context. Combat power is based upon a detailed analysis of the underlying science as it applies to the specific operational variables of an area of operations and the mission. The science of combat power largely defines what is possible during operations. It can also provide a way for echelons to divide tasks when resources and time are limited and provide a way to avoid unnecessarily duplicating effort that wastes critical resources. At all echelons, commanders balance the ability to mass effects with the need to deploy and sustain the units that produce those effects. At higher echelons, commanders also balance this with the need to employ capabilities and effects that they do not directly control and that are not necessarily deployed in the operational area. The complementary and reinforcing effects that result from synchronized operations yield powerful blows that overwhelm enemy forces and create friendly momentum. A combination of five dynamics determines the force of these blows. Each dynamic represents a variable within a formation that changes during operations as circumstances change. Enemy action, logistical challenges, weather, and fatigue all tend to degrade one or more dynamics during combat. The dynamics of combat power are leadership, firepower, information, mobility, survivability. See FM-30 for a detailed discussion of each combat power dynamic. Generating and maintaining combat power throughout an operation is essential. Factors that contribute to generating and maintaining combat power include the availability of reserves, the ability to rotate combat forces out of close operations prior to culmination, network viability, and access to cyberspace and space capabilities. Access to joint support. Commanders balance the ability to mass lethal and non-lethal effects with the need to employ, protect, and sustain the units that produce those effects. They allocate combat power to the main effort and supporting efforts of an operation to defeat enemy forces, seize objectives, and consolidate gains. Relative combat power analysis. Analyzing relative combat power requires measuring both defined performance parameters and judgment. Relative combat power analysis is not solely a mathematical computation. It is an estimate incorporating both objective and subjective factors. It is also greater than an assessment of opposing formations. It involves assessing tangible factors, such as equipment, weapons systems, units, and capabilities, and intangible factors, such as morale and training levels, of opposing forces. It also considers the mission variables that directly or indirectly affect the potential outcome of an operation. At higher echelons, or in operations short of large-scale combat, it may include relevant operational variables as well. Regardless of echelon, planners begin their analysis by comparing units two echelons lower than their echelon. For example, field army planners having multiple corps assigned would compare divisions. Brigade planners would compare companies. Analyzing relative combat powers supports calculation of force ratios and comparison of strengths and weaknesses. This analysis allows commanders and their staffs to gain insight into the types of operations possible for both friendly and enemy forces, determine friendly and enemy vulnerabilities, determine any additional resources required to execute the assigned mission, and identify possible ways to allocate existing resources. Organizing combat power. Commanders consider many factors when organizing combat power. These factors include force tailoring, task organizing, and mutual support. Equally important for commander consideration is reconstitution. Force tailoring. Commanders tailor forces for specific situations. Force tailoring is the process of determining the right mix of forces and the sequence of their deployment in support of a joint force commander. It involves selecting the right force structure for a joint operation from available units within a combatant command or from service-retained forces. Commanders then sequence forces into the area of operations as part of force projection. JFCs request and receive forces for each campaign or operational phase, adjusting the quantity of service component forces to match the weight of effort. Army service component commanders tailor forces to meet land force requirements as determined by JFCs. Army service component commanders also recommend forces and a deployment sequence to meet those requirements. Force tailoring is continuous. Task organization. Commanders task organize units for effective combined arms operations. Task organizing is the act of designing a force, support staff, or sustainment package of specific size and composition to meet a unique task or mission. Characteristics to examine when task organizing a force include, but are not limited to, the mission, training, experience, unit capabilities, sustainability, the operational environment, and the enemy threat. Task organizing includes allocating assets to subordinate commanders and establishing their command and support relationships. This occurs within tailored force packages as commanders organize subordinate units for specific missions and employ doctrinal command and support relationships. As task organizing continues, commanders reorganize units for subsequent missions. The ability of Army forces to task organize reflects their agility and it requires practice. It lets commanders configure their units to best use available resources and match unit capabilities with assigned tasks. The ability of sustainment forces to tailor and task organize ensures commanders have freedom of action to change with mission requirements. Mutual support. Commanders consider mutual support when task organizing forces, assigning areas of operations, and positioning units. Mutual support is that support which units render each other throughout joint operations because of their assigned tasks, their position relative to each other and to the enemy, or their inherent capabilities. JP3-31. Understanding mutual support and the time to accept risk during operations are fundamental to good tactics. Mutual support is a planning consideration related to force disposition, not a command relationship. Mutual support has two aspects, supporting range and supporting distance. When friendly forces are static, supporting range equals supporting distance. Supporting range is the distance one unit may be geographically separated from a second unit yet remain within the maximum range of the second unit's weapons systems. It depends on available weapons systems and is normally the maximum range of the supporting unit's indirect fire weapons. For small units, such as squads, sections, and platoons, it is the distance between two units that their direct fires can cover effectively. Visibility may limit the supporting range. If one unit cannot effectively or safely fire to support another, the first may not be in supporting range, even though its weapons can shoot that far. Units may not be within supporting range of each other, but they may be able to provide mutual support through maneuver. Supporting distance is the distance between two units that can be traveled in time for one to come to the aid of the other and prevent its defeat by an enemy or ensure it regains control of a stability or defense support of civil authorities situation. These factors affect supporting distance. Terrain and mobility. Distance. Enemy capabilities. Friendly capabilities. Reaction time. The capabilities of supported and supporting units affect supporting distance. Units may be within supporting distance, but if the supported unit cannot communicate with the supporting unit may not be able to affect the operation's outcome. In such cases, the units are not within supporting distance regardless of their proximity to each other. If the units share a common operational picture, relative proximity may be less important than both units' abilities to coordinate their maneuver and fires. To exploit the advantage of supporting distance, units synchronize maneuver and fires more effectively than enemy forces do. Otherwise, enemy forces may be able to defeat both units in detail. Army forces request joint capabilities and integrate with allied and partner units to mitigate the risk of operating at the limits of mutual support. For example, Security Force Assistance Brigades and Army Special Operations Forces conduct Security Force assistance with indigenous forces. This cooperation improves the cohesion of multinational operations and creates opportunities for commanders by multiplying the effectiveness of available combat power. Reconstitution. Commanders also consider reconstitution when organizing combat power. During large-scale combat operations, they should expect significant losses to personnel, supplies, and equipment. Commanders must plan and implement reconstitution operations to restore attrited units' combat effectiveness as quickly as possible to maintain tempo and avoid culmination. Reconstitution consists of two elements: reorganization and regeneration. Reorganization is the expedient cross-leveling of internal resources within an attrited unit in place to restore necessary combat effectiveness and maintain endurance. Regeneration is the intentional restoration of a unit's combat power. Such restoration requires time and resource-intensive operations, which include equipment repairs and replacements, supply replenishment, mission essential training, and personnel replacements in accordance with theater commander guidance. See ATP 3-94.4 for more on reconstitution.